We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 29, the talks between Narada and King Brachinabari. Chapter 29, text number 10. Kadyota, named Kadyota. Avirmukhi, named Avirmukhi. Cha, also. Atra, here. Netre, the two eyes. Ekatra, in one place. Nirmite, created. Rupam, form. Vibrajitam, name. Vibrajita, brilliant. Tabhyam, through the eyes. Vichaste, perceive. Chakshusha, with the sense of sight. Isvara, the master. Kadyota virmukhi chatra, vetre katra nirmite, rupam vibrajitam tavyam. Chaste Shakshusheshvara Kadyota Virmukhi Chatra Netre Katra Nirmite Rupam Vibrajitam Bhaktavyam Chaste Shakshusheshvara Kadyota Virmukhi Chatra Netre Katra Nirmite Rupam Vibrajitam Tavyam Vijaste Chakshusheshvara
Rupam Vibrajitam Tavyam
Chaste Chakshusheshvara.
Jai Sri Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The two gates named Kadyota and Avirmukhi, which have been spoken of, are the two eyes side by side in one place. The town name Vibrajita should be understood as form. In this way, the two eyes are always engaged in seeing different kinds of forms. Please repeat. The two gates, named Kadyota and Avirmukhi, which have been spoken of, are the two eyes, side by side, in one place. The town named Vibrajita should be understood as form. In this way, the two eyes are always engaged in seeing different kinds of forms. It's a short purport. The two eyes are attracted by brilliant things like light. Sometimes we find that little insects are attracted by the brightness of fire and thus enter into it. Similarly, the two eyes of the living entity are attracted by bright and beautiful forms. They are entangled in these forms exactly as the insect becomes attracted to fire. So here Narada Muni continues to speak after he had explained the allegorical story of King Puranjana to King Prachinabharisat. He continues to tell him, and first he went through the whole allegorical story by which he explained that the lifestyle he was inclined to go to was not the right lifestyle, because he could, the story told him what were the consequences of it. So now he continues to explain to him in this chapter about the futility of sense gratification and the importance of in getting involved in activities of devotional service. In other words, to choose for Krishna consciousness. So that's what he is explaining here. And in this particular verse, it is speaking about the eyes. He was saying that the different gates, when one looks to the east, then the east is the most important site to look towards. And then there are the eyes, there is the nostrils, there is the mouth, and the important senses are there. Shishiran Gopinath. And then he was explaining the left ear is towards the north. If the face looks towards the sun, then automatically the left ear is to the north, and the right ear is to the south. And and then if one lies like children, they like to lie while they are reading a book. When you lie on the floor with your hands, children, they like to lie like that on the floor, supporting their head. So if you look like that to the sun, so then the rectum and the genitals are towards the west. That's the position which is described here in the Bhagavatam by Narada Muni. So now today is the focus is on the eyes, and if we think of the eye is just a material complex machine, just like the glasses are a support for the eyes, but the eyes also by themselves, they are just a very ingenious product created by the Lord, by which we can see. But it is a machine, and it is thanks to the soul, the energy coming from the soul, that we can see, as it is thanks to the soul that we can talk, and that we can breathe, and that, you know, the heart can pump, etc., etc. All these elements, they are by themselves, they are useless. And we know that if a person, by accident or something, leaves the body, and then police comes, the doctor comes, and then they take the pulse, and then the doctor shines in the eye and see if the iris is still moving or not. And that's how they can see that the soul has left the body and the person is considered dead, and the body remains behind. And then the eyes, they are, at that moment, they are useless. So in other words, they are only instruments to allow the soul to go external. And Srila Prabhupada here in this purport, he compares that that the flies, some flies, when there is a fire, they are so much attracted by the fire that they want to go there. It's flashing. It's very attractive. But going there means they're dead, because they go into the fire and immediately they turn into ashes, small ashes. So in the same way, if we use these eyes, when we are in the material world and we use these eyes in the wrong way, then we may not burn to ashes immediately, but we may burn our opportunity to go back home to the spiritual world if we use these eyes. If we become too attracted by the externals and we become allured by the material energy, then we may lose another circle of birth and death, and get into even another lower destination or higher destination, whatever. But when one does material activities, obviously, then one is going to go to a lower destination, because one has used his eyes and his other senses improperly. That is the message which is given here. And we see that a materialist, obviously, is using his eyes to see material forms. And, you know, the materialists are going to stimulate each other. Just like you know, you see that sometimes when there are a few people walking on the road, and then there is a nice young girl passing by, then immediately they are distracted from their job and they start, making some noises or some talking to each other, or how you call it? Whistling to the girl, because they are, you know, immediately distracted, because that their pleasure is in that type of topic. So unfortunately, that's they are absorbed into that type of that's their meditation, that's their goal of life, that's their, besides the work they have to do there, you know, they are working so that they can have this type of pleasures, unfortunately. So that's when we use the eyes, of course behind the eyes, as we said, since the eyes is just an object like this, spectacles or telescope or whatever, so behind that is obviously the mind and the intelligence. So the mind, you know, directs the senses, and the intelligence directs the mind. So if you are materialistic, then our intelligence is polluted. We have a materialistic intelligence. And then that materialistic intelligence is going to think, how can I, by using my eyes, enjoy the most out of this material world? And that material intelligence is going to give instructions to the mind, and the mind is going to give instructions to the senses. And in this way, you know, time passes and we are very busy wasting our time. Very busy wasting our time, wasting a lifetime, wasting several lifetimes. So there is this example of Srila Bilvamangalam Thakur, who was a rich businessman of South India, and he had a prostitute that he maintained, and he was very attached to her. So much so that on the funeral of his father, he told the priest to hurry up, to be a little faster with the funeral, so that he could go and see the prostitute. So then, the priest hurried up a little bit, and then after that was then the meal with the family members, and then he packed the meal of that feast, but then it started to rain very heavily. But still, he didn't mind. He was focused on the prostitute. So he went to the torrents of rain, and then he had to cross a river, which usually was very doable. There was a boatman crossed the river. This time, due to the stormy weather, the torrents of rain, the boatman was not there. So then, with great endeavor, he crossed the river, and then. By that time, the prostitute thought, oh, today he is not coming. So she had locked the door and locked the gate. And then with great effort, he had to go over the wall, which was surrounded by the house. By going over the wall, he thought he took a branch of a tree to help him, and then it was a snake. So anyway, with great efforts, finally he got to the prostitute, and she opened the door, and she was surprised to see him that late and with so much And then he told her, why you came here with such a weather, with such a... And then he explained to her all the difficulties he had to go through in order to reach her. And then she said, if you would do this type of effort to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you would become a pure devotee. And this clicked in his mind, and he left the prostitute, and he took the determination to go to Vrindavan. And so then on his way to Vrindavan, then he again got distracted by, he saw again a beautiful lady, and he followed her. This was a lady from a high class family, and so then the lady said, the lady finally got home, and she told her husband, can you ask this gentleman why he is following me? And so her husband said, dear gentleman, I see you come from a respectable family. Why are you following my wife? And he said, because I want to embrace her. Saying, okay. So then the gentleman said, so, my good wife, prepare yourself to embrace this person, to be with him in private. And so the wife, she did, and then he said, by that time the husband was not there, he said to the lady, but one thing, give me two of your
hairpins.
Please give me two of your hairpins. So then he took the two hairpins and he pierced his eyes. And he said, this is what was obstructing me for going to Vrindavan, going to the path of devotional service. So then he lived as a mendicant in Vrindavan, and he had hardly anything to eat. And then one day, then a coward boy came to him and said, why are you taking so much hardship? And Bhuvamangala Thakur said, who are you? I'm just a coward boy. If you want, I can bring you milk every day. And Bhuvamangala Thakur said, yes, very nice. And anyway, in this way, that explains how Krishna reciprocates. If we, of course, obviously, Bhuvamangala Thakur, you know, we cannot call him like, you know, a person who is able to, you know, take away his eyes and who is able to understand such a message from a prostitute. Of course, that is a person who is a special personality and who maybe was missing some point there, but who at the same time was willing and able and had enough conviction and understanding to make such a step in his spiritual life. But this is a nice example. It's an extreme example also. It's a nice example how somebody can, you know, take an important step in his Krishna consciousness for the sake of going back to Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of life. We also have this Whenever yesterday I was speaking with Manohar Prabhu on this point, that you know, when you achieve something like in sport, you know, somebody may be a great footballer or a great other different types of sport. Then you know, that person is great, not just because he gets the physical body to do it, but it's also because his mind is there. His mind, his intelligence, his senses, you know, he will eat a special diet so that he can be a better footballer. He will make sure he takes rest in time so that he is well rested for the match. He will prepare himself very, very well. So everything is, you know, he will not be, you know, so he will be very focused. So if we as devotees could have a similar focus, but then directed towards Krishna, then we would achieve, you know, Krishna consciousness on a very high level. Because that's what it is required. If we want to become a top sportsman, we have to do tapasya. We have to do a serious effort. We have to focus on what we are doing. So if we want to become a devotee of the Lord, we also have to focus. We cannot allow our senses to go all over the place. We have to see, you know, as Sri Prabhupada would sometimes say, only Krishna, 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 only Krishna. So, or Krishna related and directly Krishna related. So that is what is required if we want to advance spiritually. And there is also this pastime, it's also with the eyes of Arjuna, who you know, when Drupada, King Drupada, wanted to give his daughter in marriage, and he invited all the, you know, everybody, all the Kshatriyas, to come and for a, what do you call it, a conquest or
a contest.
So, you know, where he asked them with a very heavy bow, they had to shoot in the eye of a fish, which was high on the ceiling, like in the airport, you have these high ceilings, which was high on the ceiling. And then underneath, 1 meter underneath, was a wheel turning. And in that wheel was only one hole, which passed sometimes over the eye of the fish. And then the person, by looking, there was a little pond of water in the marble floor, you know, you have this sometimes, and the water was even moving a little bit. So this high class warriors, they had to take the bow while looking into the wrinkling water and shoot the arrow in the eye of the fish. So they all tried, all these big guys, big warriors, kings. They tried because Draupadi was very beautiful and was the daughter of a king. So they all tried to get her in marriage. But they all failed. And then there were the five Pandavas, they were there also. But they were disguised as Brahmanas because it was at the time that they were in exile. So they were just, you know, dressed in Brahminical clothing. But then since everybody failed, then Arjuna said, I can do it. And then although it was a little strange, you don't expect a Brahmana there to come and take part in the conquest. But anyway, since everybody failed, so then they said, okay, why not? Let him try. and then he lifted the bow, you know, easily, and after saying his prayers, lifted the bow easily, and he shot the golden fish in the eye, and the fish fell on the floor with the arrow pierced in that little eye. So, but this is the same for Arjuna. It's not just like a physical, you know. Arjuna was trained up in archery, you know, and he was very, very qualified, but because he, you know, he gave it his full attention, his full, of course Arjuna was a first-class warrior and at the same time a first-class devotee. But just to say that whatever one achieves, it is by giving it, you know, our full go. That is the message which is given in these examples, is that we can achieve Krishna consciousness, but by giving it our full energy, by putting everything behind it. And as devotees, we see a lot through hearing. When we hear, we see things. Same, because we see Radha Gopinath on the altar, we see the devotees, we see Sri Prabhupada, but we see also a lot through hearing. Because when we hear a pastime, or when we read, then we see things. It may be more internally, it may not be with these two eyeballs, but the seeing is there. Seeing, realizing is there through the ears. Not like the atheists to argue that because I cannot see God, God doesn't exist. This is a weird conclusion. So Prabhupada would say, are you qualified to see God? So one who is not qualified to see God makes the statement, because I cannot see Him, He doesn't exist. And even if they stand in front of the altar, they would say, I don't believe. So I'll stop here. Any comments? Questions? Yes.
But basically, the question of the matter that the participant players perform the drama of the Bhagavad Gita. And they brought up one point in the way I'd just like to tell you. This person, this couple, was approached by Guru Mangala, and he said, hey, I want to embrace your wife. It might seem to us, well, you know, why did the husband protest? Why did he fight? He said, get out of my house. Well, the way they staged this was interesting. First they had the man tell Guru Mangala, go away, you're asked for, I invited you here, and you're asking for this. But then he portrays on the stage that, no, wait, the Lord is saying something to me. The Lord is saying this somehow. His arrangement. And he tells the wife, you know, he sends his servant, go call him. And then the man comes and he says, okay, so now I'm arranging you to share your marriage. I don't know if that's in the original story. I thought it was, you know, nice.
Yeah, it sounds nice. Not in what I read, but that may have been an abbreviation of what I read, so I don't know. Yes,
please. I was thinking about this scene, and I remember in this verse, Bhakti Siddhanta, he said that when one practices devotion, one sees Krishna, not with these eyes, but the pure, unalloyed purified, the unalloyed eye of the soul that's been purified by the practice of devotion. It was really encouraging because he said also in that couplet that according to one's practice, so there's actually a process in which we can see Krishna, but well, you don't see Krishna with these eyes. But the problem is that, like the story goes, that these eyes distract us. So I'm just really glad that we don't have to cut our eyes, because I think I would have to cut out everything. My ears, my eyes, my tongue. But I guess the idea is that for someone that, for him, he's just showing us that he was saying, well, we have to be willing to do it.
It's an example, and at the same time, the eyes can be an obstacle, especially in the beginning, before coming to Krishna consciousness, then a lot of value is given to these externals. It just as devotees, we give much more value on internal. So then indeed, like in the case of Bilba Mangalam Thakur, his loss of his eyes did not affect not negatively, on the opposite, it positively affected his spiritual life, because he had this conditioning, which was a stupid conditioning, which, although even be conscious of it, some or other he fell again in the trap, and then he fell, it's enough now. So then he took away this, but his spiritual life continued even in a stronger way. Also in Krishna consciousness, we may think, and that's what materialists fear, oh, if you take to Krishna consciousness, you have to do so many things fall away. But whatever falls away comes back, double, triple, ten, quadruple times in the form of realizations and in the form of real values in life. Just some external flickering which falls away, or which we consciously drop. But the wealth, the richness, the real wealth is increasing simply, and that's what Prabhupada calls it the rules of freedom, the regulative principles of freedom. Because this just shallow pleasures, they do not allow such a wealth which is there behind waiting to be developed, and they don't allow that to develop. So in that sense, not enough fresh time to say more.
I don't
understand what you said. What did you say?
I got it.
Because you talk about quality determination, at the same time, if Donc voilà qui vient des photos, parce
high level? Oh yeah. Okay. Determined like a... Yeah.
But sometimes it seems like, if it would just be, good energy or so don't make us far enough. So we can come down.
Any effort will bring us forward. So just that Prabhupada encouraged us to, in this lifetime, to give this lifetime to Krishna within our limits, within our possibilities, but focused. And he promised if we follow these principles, chant 16 rounds and get involved in devotional service, that we will go back to Godhead in this lifetime. But in order to follow these principles and to do devotion service, live in the association of devotees, etc., it requires, a conscious effort. So it is like a clear meditation to follow that. So there's no more required than that. But just to do that, and we see that, those numbers of devotees who do that, it's not there is a limited number of devotees who are willing to take to such austerity. So it is no more is required, but it is an austerity. It requires determination. Just to chant 16 rounds every day, to follow the principles, to be engaged in devotion service, it's a focus in life. One has to focus. So that focus is required. Not more, but just that is already, for a lot of people, is a lot of effort.
But it's more comment only to the beginning. I see in very many pictures and in very many videos that Prabhupada very often had the eyes closed. So the distractions from the eyes and from the ears for me are very easy because I look to the other side, I don't see what I'm seeing and which is disturbing me. Which is very much disturbing, I think, at least for me, is the mind. The mind is very, when she starts, it can be hard to manage if I don't take some steps that also exist. But the eyes is very easy. I close the eyes or I look on the other side. And the ears are certainly, if I don't want to hear, I go out and say goodbye.
But still, to come to the conclusion of closing your eyes, there must be some Krishna conscious intelligence behind, you see. Because when a materialistic sees something which pleases his lust, he's not going to close his eyes. He's going to open them further.
This could only be connected maybe to the last comment in order to improve. When you have determination, then it's really the senses start to be much less important.
Yeah. Sure. The senses are just instruments. And that's why when we arrive to the point that our mind is surrendered to the process of Krishna consciousness, that's a great achievement, because our mind is the leader of the senses. So, and then mind, intelligence and senses, they are going to work together, and then we can achieve great things in Krishna consciousness. Last.
Devotee could be really endeavor, really enthusiastic for accomplishing.
teaching is good. Now, without the other thing, without the mercy of Krishna, there is no advancement. So he says actually the endeavor should be forgetting the mercy of Krishna, because by ourselves we could never be without qualified. So the endeavor should be, please Holy Name, give me mercy, please Krishna, please Vaishnava, give me mercy. This is our endeavor, because it depends on other people. That's our only endeavor. And then if Krishna likes, he doesn't have to, but if he likes, he can give us. But the endeavor is not our own ability, it's on the mercy of Krishna.
But we as individual, we need the desire to take up this process, and then, you know, and then if we surrender to the spiritual master, then through him, who is the external representative of Krishna, the mercy can flow towards the disciple, and one can flourish in Krishna consciousness. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jai. Śrī Śrī Rādhā Gopīnātha ki jai.